This is a Pinball News production.
Actually, we are going to have drawings. You're actually going to win some really cool crap. We're actually going to give you numbers. And while this is all going on, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I've spent the last century in coin-op. Wasn't my chosen industry, is my industry. When I was 4 or 5 years old, I was sorting 45 RPM records before I could read. I sorted them by picture. When I was 8 years old, I was painting a gallery at State Fair, had a heat stroke, missed the first 2 months of school. I've participated in the ownership of SS Billiards for 37 years. I worked for one of the largest operators in the Midwest for 1 year. Worked my father's arcade for 7 years. Worked the shooting gallery at State Fair for like 8 years. So later during the course of the evening, if you got any questions pertaining to what I might know something about, no, I'm not great. I don't know everything. I'm not perfect. I can give an answer from my own experiences. If I don't know the answer to either, if anybody's got a question or anything interesting, I can blow you some really cool bullshit. Who said that? And, well, first I want to thank, I don't know if he's still here, Mike Pasek here? Now, he got, well, the going was good and locked the doors, sorry. I did want to thank Mike Pasek and Rob Burke for a Pinball Expo, the silver anniversary. You know, the greatest pinball show on earth, bar none. And there's other shows going to come and go, but nobody's ever going to claim a silver anniversary. And if anybody ever gets close, these boys are going to be shooting for the gold anniversary. And it's amazing how many other shows around the planet start off using Expo in their name. Jeez, why the fuck is that? Sorry, everybody get a beer? Hey, come on, let's get going with a beer, guys.
Beer boy.
This is Mark. This is one of our happy little helpers. For the first time in a 25-year history of Expo, we do have beer here. And the hotel is not to know about it, so we got to clean up. And this will probably be our last appearance here. Hi, Martin. A lot of people don't know it, but Martin was in France last week. France has a nude beach. Well, one that Martin knew of. He had his friend Mike there. Martin went and found himself a nice spot on the beach. Mike went and got beer. Mike came back. Okay, dilemma. How do you find Martin Ayub on a nude beach in France full of people? It's not hard. Hey, wow, look at that. So has anybody got a question pertaining to coin-op, or should I start telling you stories? Okay, we'll start with stories. Before my time, when slot machines were big in my area, there was one man controlled everything. There was a guy pretty close to him, walked into a bar, and noticed the slot machines in the bar. So he had his helpers come in, throw all the slot machines out in the alley. About a half hour later, the bartender called up and let him know that his machines were now out in the alley. So he went and got a couple of people and went back, threw the new slot machines out in the alley, put his slot machines back in. This kept up all day while this mound of slot machines is piling up outside the bar. Come about the end of the day, these two ran into each other out there, didn't even know they knew each other, and they've been destroying each other's equipment all day. And the lesser of the two, he was an amazing gentleman too. He owned, well, I probably shouldn't name names, he owned one of the biggest distributing companies in the Midwest. And when pinballs had paid out tokens, he was the guy to see. If you had a new location, you needed 10 games right now, he'd give them to you. And, you know, other distributors, yeah, you had to order them, you had to pay up front. This guy would give them to you. Well, people took this as a weakness. They thought, well, guy dumb enough to give me 10 games, I don't have to pay to some bitch. Then they get their knees broke, and he's a gangster for helping them. And the same guy about this time in the late 40s, driving home one blizzard driven winter night, there's a little kid standing on a corner stacking newspapers, and he stops. How many newspapers you got? You know, he's got 20 of them, nickel piece. I give the kid $5. He said, get your ass home. Circles the block, comes around, kid's back out there, new stack of papers. That kid knew a gold mine when he hit it. Ooh, first drawing.
Everybody get one?
Everybody got one?
All right.
Let's do something cool. There's some extras. Hang on to them in case more people come in. Hey, grab the translates. You know, a few weeks ago when this all fell together or something, I think they're in a white box.
That's critical.
Uh-oh. I got a hold of Jolly Becker and I asked, whatever the current stern pin is or whatever you're making next, get me a translate. And Jolly Becker in the past has come through with 24 and different things, really. So now tonight, for the first time ever, you are going to get a peek at the next stern pin. Actually, two stern pins. Well, things didn't go as good this time as they planned. Yeah, the next new exciting stern pin is going to be World Poker Tour or Monopoly. Come on, have a drawing. Get Martin to pull. Martin, right there, Martin. Ooh, and the lucky winner is 58. Yay! Now for the other translate. This I want you to understand and know is Joe Esposito. If you've ever been to one of my extravaganzas, everybody say hi, Joe. Hi, Joe. If you've ever been to one of my extravaganzas, Joe is the Joe Esposito of the Joe Esposito fame, tournament fame. Say hi to the people, Joe.
How's it going, everybody?
Well, we're trying to tell some stories, have some fun. There might be some questions out there in the crowd. Might be one question out there in the crowd. Yeah, sir.
Okay. It takes a chicken and a half, a day and a half, to lay an egg and a half. How long does it take to remove the mylar from an F-14?
With or without taking the insert?
With or without the chicken? I lost something here. Let me get this straight. You're taking mylar off an F-14 with a chicken. What the fuck kind of a pervert are you? Man, I don't want to hear about your personal life with this chicken, man. Jeez, ice cream and a chicken. Wow. And you guys are afraid I was going to get us kicked out of here.
I was briefly worried, and then that happened.
Yeah, there was the line. Well, we'll keep drawing until somebody... Oh, wait. We got a question. Sir.
Bengals ever run in Minnesota?
Nah, yes and no. No, they were run, it was like some areas, things flop back and forth. There was a time when a famous politician became, mayor of Minneapolis. And that was when all the bingo tables and everything went out and your pinballs went in. That's about the same time they used to have a sign above the machines, "The Lord is watching you." That's Miles Lord, the Attorney General. Had nothing to do with the Lord. That was a good question. At least we had a real question, though. You know, it's like, you know, in the European theater, you know, in Amsterdam stuff, you know, some years that, you know, the gambling equipment would be allowed, and then when it wasn't, then pinballs moved back and forth. So you'd have, you know, 2-3 year span. That's why you'd see the games coming, returning back in waves. You know, you'd get your attack from Mars, your medieval madness stuff, and all of a sudden you'd hit the crap because you'd have that gap in there where they weren't getting anything. Let's have another drawing. We got a lot of stuff, otherwise we could carry this crap back home. Greg! Probably about the same time that Doc guy's done with the ice cream and a chicken in the F-14 playfield. 20! Who's number 20? Who won? Jason? Hey, give him an LTG shirt and give him a show shirt. Because he's probably got circus stuff. Hey, there's no racial bigotry here. You watch that shit. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, you didn't get one? Hey, how'd you guys miss Joe?
I was probably looking for a bottle opener.
You need a chicken opener for this crowd.
Oh, okay.
I can tell you another exciting story, too. You people don't know how lucky you are that I'm even here tonight. When one of the main gangsters in my area got blown away years ago, my dad was in a funeral procession. Horns stuck on his car in his funeral procession. Fortunately, he was able to pull it over and pull the wires on it and not get shot. I can tell you another, some more of my exciting stories. One year I worked for the largest operator at the downtown cigarette route for a half year. First week, went around, got shown where everything was, no problem. Second week, we had problems. I had the city jail. They load prisoners at that time in the basement. I'd get on the first floor, ride up. And you go through the old bar cell doors, all electronic now, and get inside, load a cigarette machine. First time I'm up there by myself, doors open up, the old jailer run the elevator. Two of the biggest Hennepin County sheriffs I ever saw in my life, and they had a guy, honest to God, this guy's wrapped up in a straitjacket and chains. His last name is Kerrigan. his eyes were like looking at blue ice. He was known for, like, if a woman had pushed his car, he'd beat her to death with a hammer. So we get upstairs, go through all the gates, everything, get inside. I get the loading machine. They undo this clown. They take the chains off, take the straitjacket off, leave him watching me, and then they all disappear. Oh, I love the downtown cigarette route. It was so exciting. I had North Hennepin Junior College. First time there, they had two Crown 800s. You could squeeze 90 cartons in each machine. First time I was there, one sold two packs. The other one sold one pack. Hey, this is an easy stop. The next week I'm there. School started. Now they're both empty. Black Panthers are having a rally in the lunchroom right off these cigarette machines. I'm the only white boy in the place. And I felt about that big. And I thought, well, I'll be real quiet. They won't hear me. Yeah, that lasted less than a minute. Well, you know, that one I'm not a fair judge on. BS. 3 months. No, the thing of it is when the EMs were in SS Billiards was when my mom owned it with my help. And that was kind of the changing, about the same time the solid states were coming as when I bought out her interests. And so I didn't really operate EMs. There was an operator had games in there. And as far as my dad's arcade, when he moved from 8th Hennepin to 6th Hennepin, he probably quadrupled his space. So it wasn't so much a trading. It's every time you bought a game, you just kept it because we were building up, you know, went from 75-80 range to probably 130 games. You know, my dad, at one point, the rifle sport was upstairs, had the BB gun range, the shooting, the 22 caliber shooting range, camera booth, two pot machines, sorted candy and gumball machines, just probably 15, 20 EM pinballs and probably another 100, 110 EM games, not to mention eight pool tables and other sort of goodies. But, you know, that's one of those things I'm just not really a judge of because of I did not really operate EMs. Worked on it my whole life. I mean, I remember I was about 5, 6 years old, standing on a stool, scrubbing a playfield with a comic cleanser. Yeah, but that was what we did in those days. Oh, sorry. What?
Last time you played the game. Sorry. I'm free help.
You're my ride to the airport, too. I can't pick on you. Crap. No. No, just 1 second, please, Bruce. But, I mean, you know, you look at all the stuff available today, Clay's guides, the RGP, people sharing and helping each other and all kinds of stuff. We're taking better care of our stuff now than ever before. But it's a continuing learning process. You know, when everybody thought Wildcat was great, and I mean, it eats shit. You know, Comet was great, but, you know, half the stuff out there at that time was, you know, your bowlers and everything was Formica playfields and crap, so... We keep learning, you know, this stuff was not made for collectors. It's made to be used for 2 years in junk and take the 3-year tax write-off. You know, nobody ever dreamed of getting 20, 30 years out of something. And now it's common to have games like that in your collection and have them in good shape. You know, it's a continuing process. We keep taking better care of our crap. I'm sorry, Bruce.
Well, let's say in your expertise...
Oh, shit, that just went there. Yeah. Oh, we're in trouble. This is a big one.
The most coins that were jammed in one coin slot.
Cigarette machines.
Either any, most.
You can get about $7-$8 in them. Well, you've got the long shoot, and one thing I learned when I had the downtown cigarette route, I was probably one of the few honest people on that route because everybody else pulled out all the silver coins and everything else, and to me, you know, it's my boss's money. The first stop I had was a gay bar Monday mornings, and everything's dark. Open up the cigarette machine, and money rolled all over. I'm going to keep this over here. Money rolled all over the place. And I didn't know if it was inside the machine, outside, or whatever. So that all went in the cash box. After that, I carried a flashlight with me. Then I checked the floor. Then I checked a coin return because the first one jammed, the rest would just all pile up in there. Yeah, this was one of the first things, too. The first week I got left on my own, I got my back to the bartender in this bar, and he's up there crying, my boyfriend raised his rates. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just, Jesus Christ, I'm 15 cents an hour below minimum wage. I'm listening to this crap on a Monday morning before I've had coffee. Yeah, we got a Pinball 2000 back last. Rob Beauregard donated and is storing. Hey, Rob. Everybody say hi, Rob. Hi, Rob. If anybody's been over to his room yet, met his really cool dog. And Rob is like the greatest guy there is at repairing boards, pinballs, everything. He's a guy to stop in and say hi to. Yes, sir.
What was the first game you said at 50 cents a card?
Battle Zone.
What about Pinball?
Oh, Black Knight 2. Black Knight. Yes, on a Christmas Eve morning, it was a real 25 below. I was out with a trailer picking up that worthless piece of shit. Hauled it into my arcade, set it all up, open it up, open up the glass, everything else, let it come up to room temperature, quick ran, got rid of the trailer, came back. And I mean, it was so cold that morning. I mean, I had to bare hand the straps and stuff, and oh man, it was just miserable. Went back, set it all up, played a game on it. Hey, this is cool. And then went home, did the Christmas stuff. You know, and for a while there, the games were 50 cents when the video fad bubble burst, you know, at least in my area. Went back down to about a quarter, but by the mid-80s, you're floating back up in the 50 cent range.
Was there a lot of resistance at 25 to 50?
At that time, not really. Well, it was unique. I mean, it's Steve Ritchie pin. You know, that was really, I think, you know, Steve really took off after that. Some of his best work, you know, that was like the stepping stone where we leaped into space. But the two level helped sell it. That if it wouldn't have been for that one, probably would have still been dragging at quarters.
Favorite designer?
My favorite designer? Mark Ritchie, hands down. You know, he was, Capcom was in trouble, was turning their people loose. His work, I think he knew he was done, that was going to be, this was going to have to be his. You know, he didn't enjoy a few of the extra years like some of the other people did. And, you know, take nothing away from anybody. I mean, each in their own right, some of them are really cool. Like Python has some of the best sausage and venison you'll ever taste.
What's your favorite food?
Wendy's.
You know, my all-time when it was still good was the ribs at Grandma's in Duluth. But that's, you know, going back 20 years. I think if I was going to have one thing that, you know, okay, we're going to drive for 3 hours and go get this right now, that would be it. Okay, I got it. My favorite tournament, my 30th anniversary party. Todd Anderson, he's known as Pin Ted. He does the pin run stuff, the flipper color changing LEDs, all kinds of stuff. He got drawn in the first round to play Paul Madison. And his wife got to play Lyman Sheets. Scott Teasman, he had one of the first online pinball things and also started Twin City Pinball Database and other stuff. He comes up, "Here, Lloyd, let me help pull names." And he pulls Todd, Miko, and Lyman and Paul and just, "I just killed my fucking friends. My best friends in the whole world. And this is all your fault, you son of a bitch. When the fuck did you do to me?" I mean, he just, guy went apeshit. You're the dummy who come up here wanted to help. Well, of course, Lyman tore Miko up in the first round. Todd beat Paul. Took him out. And Paul is one of the class acts. I mean, I don't think he was real happy, but he didn't show the emotion. Because I really think he wanted to go down to him and Lyman in the final. Little Todd gutted his way through the entire day and beat Lyman in the final. And then asked Lyman if he'd signed his flyer, and he said, "Thanks, bitch." But the real reason that tournament was special for me is a father brought his little, like, 7-year-old girl in. And if you're going to order a daughter, you know, we got the freckles, you know, the pigtails, we're missing a tooth. I mean, just the perfect kid. Just, oh, man, this kid was cute. And I asked Lyman, "Would you do me a favor?" And he's, "What?" Well, he brought some souvenirs to give out and stuff. And he had some Medieval Madness posters. And I said, "Would you sign one? Give it to the little girl. The Medieval Madness poster is like the layout of the playfield." And he said, "Sure." And I gave it to the, you know, the little girl. Dad calls me the next day, just tickled to death. You know, little girl's got it taped to the wall. And I told him, "You know, well, you know, if your daughter's going to be into pinball her life and if she really enjoys, has fun, you probably want to get that frame for her." He said, "Why?" I said, "Well, in the bottom of the playfield, you can see the design credits. Go look at it and then see who signed your name." And he was like, "Holy Christ." I said, "Yeah, we get famous people here too." Lyman's one of the class acts you'll ever see. I mean, as, you know, 30 years of hard work was nothing. You know, making a little kid happy. So that if I was going to pick a, you know, favorite tournament, that'd be it. Yes, sir?
In all your years of doing operations there, what's the most bizarre thing you've run across? I mean,
what, a fucking gopher has run around a few weeks back.
That's the most bizarre.
Okay, I got bizarre. Let's see. Still had the red trucks. This was a couple of Halloweens ago. The Halloween weekend, the Saturday, 11:45, I got a drunk African-American guy come in and it's laying on my counter and wanted me to call him a cab. Well, everybody's gotten parties and stuff. I could not even get through to the cab companies. So I thought, well, where are you going, 38th and Cedar? And I said, well, hell, I'll just run out to Crosstown, take you home, drop you off. It'll be quicker than I'll ever get a cab out here, and I got to sit here with you. Because it's cold out. I'm not going to lay the guy out front and he dies on me or something. So we proceed to driving him home, and I'm going our Crosstown, and he opens a beer up. You know, he had a knapsack with, he opens his beer up, and I told him, well, you know, buddy, I'm driving, you can't be drinking in here. Okay, he throws it out the window. Well, you know, if the window had been rolled down, this would have been really cool. So then he freaks out, you know, you're not a cop, are you? Where are you taking me? I mean, the guy's just going apeshit. So I find, and then I get lost with trying to deal with this clown and get him home. Well, we get up in his hood, and it's just amazing. They rebuilt the Sears Tower. I mean, it's just, it's like million-dollar condominiums, all kinds of stuff. And at 3 in the morning, there's like zombies walking around here. You know, they're just, I mean, God, who would want a million-dollar thing in this area? So, well, he wants to go down to his cousin's first. We pull into an alley. Well, pretty soon I got cars on both ends. We got a crack deal going down. I got a 20-year-old hooker sitting next to me. I got this clown out here running around, left my truck open, so I can't even get out of here. That was probably one of the more bizarre things recently. I don't, stuff happens to me. I'm looking for KISS updates. I end up in Kiev. I mean, I've just learned through the years to, you know, go with the flow. Yes, sir?
You were held up while you were working your hours?
I've got an attitude problem.
No.
Really?
I've had a few instances in my life. The only time I ever got held up was working at the state fair. Yeah, I was out front. My dad gave me a bunch of money to run around the length of the building and go in the back door. I just started, and he called me back. He wanted me to go make him coffee and deal with the money later. So I went running back just in time to get held up, and all I had on me was $1. And these guys just saw me out front with a stack of money, plus Playland on the corner. There's Playland, the restaurant, Amaranth, and then we ran a shooting range for Lieberman Music Company. They hired a sheriff that was running around there the whole time. Well, you never saw this son of a bitch, and I'm sitting here thinking, oh, this is good. I am getting held up at gunpoint. I can just see the cop walking up behind me, and I'm in the middle of the shootout. Fortunately, the cop didn't show up. They took the dollar. They ran. But, I mean, I've been shot at. I've had knives pulled on me. I mean, it's just part of the game. You know, one time we had, and of course I was more worried about getting my father upset when he was upstairs on 6th and Hennepin. He had a Chicago coin driving game. They had the big steering wheel. And I'm undoing the little screw things, it's like 3/4 inch plywood panel. I'm taking this off. My dad's standing here, useless as all shit. And I was drinking pretty heavy in them days. And two guys ran by, and one grabbed a handful of dimes and ran. I thought, oh, motherfuck, this is going to be my fault. I'm never going to hear the end of this shit. So I chased, you know, and I had the control panel. I ripped off the plug. I ran the guy down. Now this is a terrazzo floor. It used to be a nightclub in the 20s and 30s. I'm just drilling this guy with a control panel on the floor. I mean, I fucked him up bad. I mean, he's got blood coming out of the ears and shit. And I'll never forget the screaming. You know, his friends yelling, you know, you can't do that. Well, you know, I seem to be doing it. And then my dad, you're going to kill him. I'm trying to kill him. You're going to be on my ass next, and this is all my fault. I can just see this shit coming. Well, his friend took off. This guy's laying out cold. I mean, he's got shit coming out of him and stuff. He's pretty fucked up. Then, of course, my dad, what are you going to do with him? And at that time, we're upstairs from McDonald's and Moby Dick's and stuff. Well, Moby Dick's, there's only one squad car ever get called. You know, Moby Dick's back door, one to go. That's all shit, I'll haul him down there. So I grabbed him by the ankle, and I wasn't real gentle. Ran the length of the building, down two flights of stairs, up the alley, and I left him laying by Moby Dick's.
Did you remember to take out the dimes? Get the dimes back?
I don't remember. No, I don't remember he got the dimes back or not. I was just worried about my dad being on my ass about that. See, anything that went wrong was my fault. Like when we worked at State Fair, we always opened up Sunday morning, and he usually come by and closed us down for sound, for making noise. Well, one year he's seen all these guys going by with these huge yardsticks. He had to have one. So I'm all over machinery hill and back. Finally find him one, bring it back. We got closed down. This is my fault. I get fired. It's only one time I ever went for him, though. I'll give this guy credit. He could move fast when he had to. He put his glasses on first. That didn't slow me down, so he hopped in his truck and took off. That was after I threw my sister through a screen door. Well, see, my sister and I didn't always get along, and she was moving out. We didn't know where or anything. And my dog I had at that time, Sunshine, this cute little thing, was a chewer. And my sister had a dog cage, and she said I could borrow the dog cage. So the second day when she's moving out the last of her stuff, she wanted a cage. I said, well, you said I could use a cage. And she says, no, I want it. Well, I said, well, you know, give me a half an hour. I'll go buy a different one. You can have the brand new one or this one. Or she wouldn't tell us where she's leaving. I said, well, let me use it for an hour. I said, I'll drop the new one off at the arcade. You can pick it up whenever. And this went back, forth, back, forth. Well, she opens up the cage. So, of course, the dog hops up. She slammed the top onto the dog. You know, you know, okay, you don't hit my dog. I had enough of that. I grabbed her by the pants and the collar and right through. Fortunately, the door was open. She just went through the screen door and out on. And then, of course, that's when my dad started yelling. I went down the hill after him, and he put his glasses on. But then he seen I kept coming, so he got in his truck and took off. No, I'd have probably beat him to death. We didn't always see eye to eye. Well, the guy had an attitude problem. I mean, Jesus. I mean, it's like when we had the BB gun range and the 22 caliber range, McDonald's bought the back end of the building. We lost 1,000 square feet, so we had to pull them forward. Well, he had hired Ray Benson, who used to move for Lieberman Music Company and stuff, to move all this stuff. The galleries are down for 3 months, are not making money. So I take it upon myself to, you know, in one day, I set up the BB gun range, got it all going, set up the 22 range, rebuilt everything, got all the targets. The only thing, there's one little fluorescent light at the top of the 22 caliber range. You know, we get everything up going. My dad goes out and looks at him. Oh, you forgot a light. Man, he was lucky. He died of old age. I don't know how he made it. No, and anyway, when you're asking, like, if I ever got held up on all this happy crap stuff, too, like when the cigarette route, I was more afraid of the bouncers of Moby Dick's than I was any of the street idiots you run into. Vince! Oh, the guy behind Vince. Boy, it'd be two video games, and it'd be hard to separate them. I had a sit-down Afterburner and an Asteroids. Both of them probably took in 100 G's apiece. Afterburner would have beat it probably by tenfold if they had a dollar bill acceptor on it. They had one mistake on that game. You had like 9 seconds to put in four coins as a dollar a game. And, you know, if you put in a coin, the time didn't start over. So you literally had to have somebody outside the game feeding it. But if people, you know, if they'd have found out, hey, this thing's got 23 stages, come back in and land on the aircraft carrier, people would have been shoving 20s in it. I mean, I saw that with the Virtua Racer. You know, they could stick a 20 in, people like doing it. Asteroids, I had longer than anything else. Every fall and winter, it was huge because people had come in and they see, oh, geez, you got a joystick, you got 6 buttons. You know, people want to play stuff, but they don't mind dying. They want to know why. Well, anybody could play Asteroids. Asteroids had longer than anything else. And pin. You know, I don't know that I've ever had a super pin. I mean, I've had some for longevity, like Attack from Mars and Medieval Madness. Medieval Madness has always been more of a steady earner. You know, Attack from Mars has been the ups and downs. But one thing I found through the years, that there was a time when Williams would like have their what they thought was going to be a big game and then a little run, big game, little run. Well, some of the fillers, Millionaire and Fire, were fillers. I had them longer than whatever was on either side of them. But as far as like one game that hauled in like a video game, I never had it. Probably one of the king of the crop too is though it wasn't in the numbers because it wasn't there that long, but Gauntlet was one of the few games that paid for itself in 2 weeks. Oh, you want funny? I worked with a kid from Israel when I worked at Vance Carter for half of the year and moving and stuff. This guy was funnier than hell. We had to deliver a jukebox up to either the Minneapolis or the Minnesota State basketball high school or hockey playoffs. And the cheerleaders had like rented a huge room like this, and they all had their spots for rehearsing. We had to put in jukebox stuff. Giora Aloni, he has to go up and down and look at each one. I mean, just they don't have cheerleaders in Israel. We get out in the truck, and the guy is just silent. I could just see the wheels turning after a half an hour. Could you imagine that on the horizon? Yeah, if anybody's ever moved any amounts of equipment, that can be a dangerous job, too. When I worked at Advance Carter right prior to my starting, when there became an opening, there were 2 guys out with a big truck delivering stuff, and it was a new location. And the guy that took care of the camera machines, he ran a cigarette machine off the lift gate and onto the ground. So the other guy yelled at him, so he shoved him out of the way. So he went and he shoved the pinball cart down to the end, run that off the truck on top of the cigarette machine. Then between the two of them, they added the pool table to the pile. Meanwhile, the location is looking that, and I wanted these people operating in my bar.
What was your greatest disappointment on a brand new brand?
Just tied off all over. Boy, there's so many.
Yeah.
Probably volcano. Well, the reason being is, you know, you got the, you shoot the ball up, goes down, the subway comes on. It's almost got like a baseball game. Trap door shoots the ball up. But they didn't do it with an arm. They did it with a coil. For whatever reason, if the coil didn't shoot it up and the second ball get in behind it, it wasn't strong enough to kick two out. And that's when I was a test operator for Lieberman Music Company, and I crated it up and sent it back, and Gottlieb went ape crap. 3-4 days. Well, they were going to production no matter what. They didn't. The test program was not to iron out bugs, to do this, to do that, to do anything. Like Williams would have 12 out. If you went in a distributor, they'd show you the top 3-4 reports. You know, they could give a flying frick less about testing. It was about selling equipment. Because whenever I'd see reports, I'd always ask them, show me the bottom three. You know, if we take a brand new game out here and we put it against two little old ones that are broke and don't work, well, obviously it's going to take you more money. Let's put it in against top-of-the-line stuff. And there was games like that, like Disc Citron. I was supposed to test that, and they stuck it out to State Fair first to, you know, expose it to more people. And I stopped by, and I'm watching this thing for an hour, and nobody's playing it. They finally put a monitor on top so you could see it. Then after the fair, of course, they wanted me to take it. I said, I already know it's a piece of crap. I don't want it now. The one thing that I did different than some of the places, anytime I did test equipment, though, I always bought it. Because to me, I was going in trying to do, it's going to be a fair test. It's my game. Not that, hey, I get to use it free and I'm going to, you know, glorify it and then send it back later. So anyway, I was telling you about the gangster that owned the biggest distributor in the Midwest. The half of the year I worked at Vance Carter, the first half year is moving the equipment with his nephew. And this kid was great. He had to do two lines of a Coke in the morning just to get going. But the guy was like a Doberman pincher. There wasn't an ounce of fat on him. He could pick up a pool table by himself. We destroyed more equipment than any other two movers that company ever had. Oh, back when I was single and stupid, I was like dating three in the same night. I mean, it's... Yeah, before I got married, three of the girls I was going out with, two went on to be lesbians, one went on to be a 500-pounder. When they were done with me, they were done with men. My wife saw the big one. She said, what the hell did you ever see in that? Well, she wasn't bigger than a ping pong machine when I was going out with her. Christ. She was tiny. Well, you know, like one, Susan, I was supposed to go get her after I closed. We'd go out and eat or something. And, well, some of my friends had stopped by. We're playing Golden T97, and then we're doing this, doing that. And she finally calls about 1:30, and, oh, yeah, just leaving. So about 3:30, I finally left. And then I had to stop at the post office. I ran into a friend of mine, Ben, that worked at Broadway Pizza, usually delivered our pizzas. So I finally get over to her house about 4:30, still sitting there with the light on, still waiting for me. You treat them like shit, and they keep coming back for more. There's just no sense being nice to them. 94. Then the great thing was I didn't have to take... Well, the great thing was I didn't have to take her anywhere after that. We just had some great sex, and I went home. If we could go, like, on top or behind...
On top?
About a 5-pound toad. I had my pot machines used to sit in the back, and I was sitting reading a newspaper one day, and I looked back there and thought, what in the hell? I go back, I had this big toad sitting up there, some kid snuck in and put up. No, because I'm in my machines regularly, so I've not, you know, beyond. Well, like pole position, I had that little slot behind the seat, and everybody lose their change. So before I traded that machine, and I cut plywood out around the corners, and I tipped her up and rolled all the money out of there, it was probably a couple $100 worth of change in that thing, and that wasn't going with when I traded it in. So that was a game of the distributors, too, when you trade a game in. Man, you stripped it. I was out in the truck while they were picking one up one time, taking a locks and crap off of it. Martin.
Tell us about some of the scams that customers are trying to pull.
Well, you know, years ago, Gottlieb in the day, you know, in the EM days, they hired 8 people. All they did all day long was try to cheat the machines, and they figured they were 3 months behind the kids on the streets. You know, it's not so much a problem anymore. I mean, during the heyday of the video fad, you had everything. You know, the whole drill a hole in, try a string, try a water, you know, wire, try a nickel flip from the bottom. The only one that really raised hell with me was the cast aluminum quarters. That was a tough one. I cured that one, though. Well, we got a high school in my area. At that time, it was Eisenhower on Highway 7. Well, it doesn't take a genius to figure out where the cast aluminum quarters are. So I went up and I talked to the shop teacher. And, you know, he blew me off. And when the FBI made a stop up there and shut their shop down, that was the end of them. And years ago, there was a coin, Midway used a coin controls metal coin mech. It's kind of a gold tone finish, silver front, and it had the nylon cradle. That beat everything. You know, if you got one slug or something once every 3 months was rare. But year in and year out, that was the best. The first time I ran into one of them, I ordered like 100 of them from Midway. Yeah, the year I worked for the operator, first detail Monday mornings before I had the cigarette rod, I did that after my first back injury. First detail Monday mornings is go out and fix everything that had sex on them over the weekends. You always had pool tables at the corners torn out. You always had at least one busted playfield glass or something. Any more questions? There's got to be something you always wanted to know about something. Uh-oh. Yes, sir. Since I've owned SS Billiards fully, you know, from 79 on, my mother couldn't buy equipment. Yeah, there's an operator in there, she couldn't buy equipment, and of course, I could buy equipment, which is, sometimes the world's really screwed up. From my experience, most of my days were already on three ball. You know, see, like in my dad's day, you know, he had five ball, he had nickel, dime, you know, two games for a quarter, all kinds of happy stuff. Mid-70s, video games didn't have battery backup. So anytime you turn a machine on, all the scores are zero. So if I go work on a machine, fix a button, fix a joystick, play a game on it, see if it's okay, I get high score. I'm number one. And I suck when I play stuff. I move them, I clean them, I fix them. I suck when I play shit. I freely admit this. Helen Keller could beat me. And in those days, my dad was alive. I was a junior. I had four initials, so I didn't. Most games are three. I didn't fit. Plus, I go with money. I come with money. I got enough grief in my life. I don't need people knowing where I live and stuff, too, making it any easier. So at one point, I was accused of having the Lloyd Army. In fact, I even had shirts made up. SS Billiards, Lloyd Army on the back. Well, somewhere along the line, I started using LTG, Lloyd the Great. Yay! And it's got nothing to, oh, it's the only thing in that sentence is true is Lloyd. It's got nothing to do with being great, because anybody, the next person, a blind kid with no arms or legs could beat that score. And then, you know, fast forward, it was a running gag for years. We had fun with it. You know, somebody look at that. What's your middle name? The. And then when I get my web TV thing, it says, well, enter a nickname for your email address. This is cool. Lloyd the Great. And, you know, I spelled it out. Hey, this is how this works. I'll change it. Think up something really cool. You can't change it. You can make three more, but you couldn't change your primary. Then when I started selling on eBay, well, I stuck a Lloyd the Great because anybody knows that, you know, I'm going to be fair to deal with. I'll try not to screw them. I'll, you know, go to the end of the earth to see they're happy. Like, I sent one Joust poster out. I was getting like $280 a piece for them. They're brand new. And one of them, the post office tore up. Ian Nodlin, he was posted on the news group, was a buyer. I got kind of a terse email. He was sorry he bought it, et cetera, et cetera. I've got two more. Don't do a thing. I'll find out a way. And that's why I started using a PVC pipe to ship translates and posters, things like that. But I shipped him another one, and the only thing I asked is send me the other one back, which then that one I eBayed for like $125, so I had a happy ending anyway. So anyway, occasionally on the Rec Games Pinball News Group, where I've made one or two posts in the last 10, 15 years. My group. every once in a while, it comes up what this stands for, and it's an acronym for lightning. And, you know, little tiny gonads, loves Thai girls, lost the game, lower town ghetto, blah, 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 blah. Well, right about this time, there's guys coming in there since before when Sam Snelling had owned the business, and they shoot pool in the winners, and one of them is just screaming across the room, "Let loose the ducks!" Which, I don't know what, these guys did some serious drug research in their day and stuff. I had no idea what this meant. This is the same moment in time. It's like seconds later, David Jersick had posted on the news group. It stands for launch those geese.
And you have a neon to prove it.
That was way later.
You're welcome.
And the first pinball party, March 2nd, 2001, was the launch those geese pinball party. That's why the goose. You know, you go to the website, if you don't use Firefox, if you do it in a regular browser, you click the goose, it honks. You know, you hit the message thing on my phone, it honks.
Firefox is better.
Oh, yeah, you open a tab and you got to open a second one to close the first one. Yeah, big, big improvement, yeah. No, one thing I've learned in my life, crap happens to me, and I just, 68, I just go with it. I'm like, 16. Wait.
There you go.
No, it's like when I was looking for KISS updates, I end up in Kiev. Things happen in my life, and I've learned not to fight them. It's useless. I just go with them. You know, if I was going to give everybody one piece of advice, especially in the age of digital cameras and stuff, you know, my website, I got a picture of the back wall in 73. What? Average life of a game room then was a year and a half. I never dreamt of being anywheres for over 30 years. And there was some things in retrospect I wish I'd done. It'd been cool to, like, twice a year, stand in the center of the room and take pictures front and back just to see the evolution. You know, air hockey is big, foosball is big, the first video games, the second video game fad. You know, the pinball's coming and going. There was one time I had 15 EMs in there. You know, things like that. And also, I wish I would have kept a diary of games. You know, why did you get this? Why did you not get that? Like Gilligan's Island, I was supposed to test that. I was out there listening to that. Little buddy, little buddy, little buddy, little buddy. Holy fuck, by 5 o'clock, I'd have been killing people with an automatic weapon if I was hearing that shit all day. And then the Rudy Funhouse head is probably the most fun thing in the entire world to have to... I mean, it's like you want to give yourself, you know, tase yourself first and then work on that thing. I mean, whoever dreamt that shit up? That is the sole reason I never bought Roadshow. You don't only have one Rudy head. You got two Rudy heads, Red and Ted. If you want to work on Red, you got to take Ted out first. I don't care if that was the greatest game ever made. That damn thing wasn't coming to my place. Yo.
Okay, yeah, I saw that photo of 73 and the pong game, which is really cool. But what's your favorite game? I don't care if it's video or pinball or whatever. What's out of all of their history in your mind, what is the most...
Kingpin. Capcom Kingpin. Hands down.
Why? Why? Yeah, why that?
It's fun. I just love the game.
Mark Ritchie.
No, it just, I mean, I have, through all the years I've had, like I said, the all-time perfect score on pole position, I went through it flawless one time at full speed. I mean, and there's been games I've been good at, there's been some I suck, like Wizard of War, I was over, you know, because like, was it the 8th or 12th board, you start hitting the invisible one every four, I was up like in the 80th and 90th board or something, and I hauled Wizard of War home, I had it home for a long time, and that game cheated. You know, a friend and I made the tour one year, played every one we could find, and they all cheat. That was at an era when you shot. You only had one shell. You either had to kill a monster or hit a wall until you got another bullet. But when you shot, well, the first thing you didn't know, it's a bullet going out my gun, out my back, out my head, or out my feet. Then if you actually got a bullet going out the gun, if it hit any, you didn't know if it hit anything, if it killed or not. It might run through everything, go down, and hit the wall. And then it had the tunnels on either side. You run through this side, come out this side. Well, you know, sometimes when you run through, you didn't come out that side. You come up somewhere else, then you had to find yourself right away. That game cheated. I was amazed that those things didn't get chopped to pieces on location. I love that game. And then, you know, and also I wish I would have, besides kept a diary, why did I get this and not get that? Because there's some games, obviously, I either bought a new pin, bought a new video game. But I wish I would have kept a diary, too, because being a test operator, like everybody, most people claim they never made a dedicated Donkey Kong 3. I had one. Every distributor got one to show off to kids. You know, I had the Junior Pac-Man in a mappy cabinet with a big glass. My Super Sprint come down a different line. I had different board set and different power supply in it. You know, I had a four-board Donkey Kong and red cabinet. You know, it would have been fun to see that stuff now. It'd be a treasure cove of...
Did you ever have a few beers again on hard drive? Yeah. That was real.
Back in my day, I got rip-roaring drunk one time and went on a Tilt-A-Whirl at a fair. I have never been on a ride at a state fair, anything ever since that. Man, I thought I was going to puke the kitchen sink. I just, Jesus, that was about the most fucked up I ever was. Oh, God, I thought I was going to die. And, I mean, I've been in motorcycle crashes, car crashes. I mean, you know, it's funny, too. It's one thing they don't tell you, driver ed, when you're rolling a station wagon 8 or 9 times, you know, you see... Well, you see all the beer cans and stuff, and they're like floating up and down. And you know, this is over in 3 seconds. I mean, these things are up. But you're watching this, and you're just kind of mesmerized. Everything's just kind of like gracefully going up and down. And yeah, there's still a car up north somewhere. So we're going down an old railroad grade, doing probably about 100 and a quarter. And we came to where there used to be a trestle. And we damn near made the other side. Of course, the infinite thinking was, had we made it across, that would have been the only way out of there. And that car, the last we seen it, was stuck on the side of the hill. We had to hike back to the Gunflint Trail, hike halfway down that, and then we hitchhiked down to 61, hitchhiked to Duluth, took a bus home. Jesus Christ. It's funny to be young and drunk. The one thing, though, I did my fair share of drinking and driving. I didn't do that on the motorcycles. All the motorcycle crashes were on their own. Yeah, I had to get stuff go as fast as me. I had a 1954 KH, 80 cubic inch overbore, indium pistons and rings, do low tens in a quarter mile. It's because I blew the engine off everything else I was ever on. I needed something that went as fast as me. Part of me wants to thank Mike Pasek and Rob Burke for having us, too, even though they chickened out and left. They got what they getting was good. Yeah, one of the most anybody that's ever been up north that's been down the Gunflint Trail. I did that 140 miles an hour from the top down to 61. Pancaked down on the 61, the brakes failed right then and there. I had no brakes left. 76 Rally Sport LT Camaro. I'm kind of female when it comes to vehicles. They go or they don't. There's no in between. I don't care how they got there. No, and as soon as I got down to the ranger station, was right on the side there, and I got down to that stop sign. I had no brakes left. Pancake got on 61, flying up 61. I got the heater on. I got everything going, trying to cool it off so I could stop the damn thing. Yeah, back when I had the smaller bikes, I was just like golf. First one out in the spring, last one out in the winter. I was running around one spring. It was so cold out. I'm driving along. I got water coming off my eyes. It's freezing on the side of my head. And where Macy Ferguson was, they had like two chain link fences on top of each other for the height. I got down to the end, and I was so cold I couldn't even turn. Last thing I did was I popped a wheelie to go through the fence so the bike could go through first. Uh-oh, Martin's luggage allowance has been used up. Well, what if you win something better? You're going to have to lighten the load.
You'll throw away a car on door.
Well, that would lighten the load. Bruce said it, not me. Come on, there's got to be more coin op industry questions. You know, you're never going to get this chance again after tonight. Mike will probably never let us back in here. I'm sorry, what?
So what was the best pin that you got the most money out of?
What's this for?
A gift.
Yeah, there probably is not, because it's just some of them, like Medieval Madness stuff I've had so long you can't even measure. I mean, it's a, you know, pinballs, even in the heyday, pinballs could never, you know, you've got an infinite, you've got a set time that, you know, there's, even if you're packed, there's only so much you can do a day. Well, when you got a, you know, a video game like Gauntlet, you know, you got four players, you could easily dump $100 a piece in one evening in it. It's just not something that's, you know, really accurately measured. You know, one thing I always noticed whenever I was going to trade a pin in, I always seemed like its best day was the last day there. Because I knew it was going to go to a bar where it was going to get beat on and neglected. Like Gorgar. Best day Gorgar ever had in my business was the last day. This is one of these fun things, too. I had to fill out these test reports for this thing. I get Gorgar set it up, wouldn't start up. I got power, I got this, everything's perfect, would not turn on. Had to go get a trailer, took it back in, hauled it in, of course it worked. So I got to fill out the test report. They wanted to know if anything happened. Well, yeah, I put down, yeah, well, game one power up. How did you cure it? I took it for a trailer ride. Did you have a question, sir? Less than what? Cyclops. Cyclopes? Oh. My all-time unfavorite game is Judge Dredd. Yep. Man, when I had one coming as a guest pin, I wanted to shoot that son of a bitch. I had a Judge Dredd. I was taking it off my truck, and I dropped it off the truck, and I caught it. Now, imagine this. My truck is insured. My business is insured. The game is insured. The only person in this whole scenario that's not insured is me, and I go catch a 300-pound game coming at me and caught it and stopped it. It about ripped my left arm off. I couldn't even lift stuff for a year. So if I was going to pick a least favorite game, it would be Judge Dredd. And of course, one of my favorites, too, is the coming of the moving simulator Sega games coming out of Japan. Wow, I get to buy metric tools now. And then they're made for a 5-foot-tall, 100-pound person. Get upside down on afterburner and go through that little port and try and get into the potentiometers in the bottom of that damn thing. Jeez, I'd like to meet the crazy bastard that invented that one. You can make a Oh, we're doing a big one? We got to throw these in there, too. Anybody that played in the teams today are allowed in on the big team tournaments, but I've marked them because there are two different tickets, and the tickets the players have are marked teams or singles. The little ones aren't, so I marked them teams or singles. And anybody, if they're not here, you can check with Rob Anthony. Well, I suppose if you're not here, you wouldn't know to do that. Martin. Yes, I have had games catch fire.
Which one?
Well, the first one that I ever had an actual open flame on, Atari Firefox laser disc game. Yeah, I opened up the inspection port. I lost the picture. I opened up the inspection port on the back of the monitor, stuck my nose in there, plugged it in, turned it on. I got my nose in there. I had actual flame coming out of the board. Then, of course, my own personal favorite, when Sega had the color XY monitors, and it started with Eliminator and Space Fury, and they had those resistors piggybacked across the board. And then, of course, Star Trek was supposed to have a different monitor. Well, of course, 1 month into it, that thing burned up. I opened it up, you know, the cloud of smoke, everything. Same damn monitor, Sega lied. Can you imagine that? Of course, then, like, down my dad's place had a few exciting things. Yeah, one of those really cool, with the cast iron guys, the basketball games. Well, of course, the score reel stuck, smoked, burned it up. Guy working there, stupid, calls the fire department. They took it apart with axes and fire extinguisher to put out the smoke. Well, since everybody's leaving, I suppose it's time to, you know, call it a day. I really want to thank you all for coming, and a lot of us came today as strangers, and I hope we're leaving as friends. Thanks for coming. Be sure and tell Mike it wasn't half bad. Maybe we do this again next year. Thank you.